know why my voice is very
okay.
bad today.
Yeah,
some
I'm
days
a little.
It's bad, and some days it's not, but
okay.
it's sort of permanently not good anymore.
Okay. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell me your name, when you were born, and where you were born?
My name is Jimmy Carter, J-I-M-M-I-E, C-A-R-D as in David, E-R. And I was born in Huntington, West Virginia. And I was born in December the 23rd, 1940.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about your family? So was it your parents who started this restaurant?
As I like to say, because I think it's cute, my future mother said to my future dad, "Get a job or I'm gone." So he borrowed $1,500 from an uncle and bought this restaurant, just the small part there. And they were both very hard workers, and so they worked the restaurant together. And then I was born a year after it started, so my mother backed away a little, but she still worked a lot. They were originally open. Well, at one point they opened from 7 in the morning till 2 in the morning on the weekends and midnight on during the week. And it started out as a nickel dime place. And then in 1945, an Italian man came in and told my dad that he had an Italian spaghetti recipe he would like to give him. So he came and brought him the recipe and they started making spaghetti. And about 3 years later, business was really booming, and so then they opened the other section up over there where you were sitting. And they really did well, worked very hard. In the meantime, my mother had two other children, so I have two younger brothers. They are both attorneys. And then in 1958, I went away to school, and in 1962, they closed the entire restaurant down and opened up this side and remodeled the entire restaurant. So the interesting part about that is that everything in this restaurant has been here since 1962 or before. All of this out here since 62, except for that over there, and it's older, the stainless over there. But there's stuff in the back that has been here since the early 40s, equipment.
Wow.
It's really awesome to see. Then I never came back. I stayed in Lexington, got married. Then I, after a year in Lexington, we moved to Nashville, and I have actually still been there. I have a home there, and I have 4 kids and 9 grandkids. And so I still go back there and retire there one day. But in the meantime, the restaurant just went perking on, and there were times my mother worked at it, and sometimes she didn't. And my dad was known as the ambassador of Huntington because everybody wanted to come see Jim's. Then we acquired in 1960 our $1 million picture of Kennedy, who came in here one morning on his campaign train ride thing. And so now everybody wants to come and sit in the Kennedy booth.
Which one's the Kennedy booth?
It was right in front of you.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's sort of been sort of a cute little perky thing. And let's see. Then in 1994, I came back up here. I needed a job. My husband died 30 years ago. And so I came back up here and to help my dad for 4 or 5 years, and that was 25 years ago. So I'm still here, and they sort of turned it over to me about almost 20 years ago and just said, here, you know. And my dad died 13 years ago, and my mother died 2 years ago. She was 99 when she died. And I have one brother that lives here in town. And he's, the president of the company now, and he's become more of a part of it in the last 4 or 5 years. And then I have another brother that lives in Charlottesville.
Okay.
What do you want to know?
I can hold the microphone too because it's heavy. So what did you study in college?
How to get out. My brothers are the smart people in the family, and I'm the street person. I'm just a...
You have street.
Yeah, yeah. I studied social work.
Oh, okay.
So what little good that did for here. But I raised four kids, and so that helped a lot. Yeah, I had a lot of background on that. And but yeah, I worked really hard to try and get out.
And this was at UK?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What were your parents' family, like cultural background?
They're Lebanese. All four of my grandparents came from Lebanon, in a little town called Kafir. And no, we've never been there, none of us. But my father's mother was alive through most of my life until, well, she died after I left here. And my father's father died when he was 8 years old. And then my mother's parents, her mother died when she was a year old. And he went back to the old country and remarried and came back in 22 or something like that. And so I knew both of them really well. They were sort of the love of my life. They were a very good influence on all of us. But they lived in Beckley.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I actually just listened to I saw that, is it your mother was a Ray Hall? So I just listened to an interview in 91 with a woman who was a Ray Hall, or no, they were both Ray Halls, and they owned the store in Fayetteville, the Ben Franklin. And she said she was from Charleston and Lebanese. Anyway, I was wondering if...
Okay, because you're probably a little familiar, Nikki Jo Ray Hall,
right,
that ring a
right.
bell?
Yes.
Okay, so Nikki Jo and I are on the same
generation.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then there was my mother and his father, who was Joe, and my grandfather, and Nikki Jo's grandfather, mm-hmm. that was Mike and Nick.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll have to look at my notes when we're done. And
yeah.
Because I have their names.
Yeah, okay.
So, and she was saying that her family owned Husson's Pizza.
Okay.
So maybe
there,
it's
there was a
yeah.
Husson's Pizza here.
Yeah.
And they have been in here a couple times, but I do not know them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did your mother's family attend the Orthodox Church in Beckley?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Was there a...
There was not one here.
Okay.
While my grandparents were alive here, and we were members of the Fifth Avenue Baptist, was
okay.
where I was raised. But yes, my grandparents went to the Orthodox Church in Beckley.
Okay.
Yeah, this one just started, has not been around that long, the one here, the Holy Spirit, is relatively new, and they were very committed to Fifth Avenue, so they did not switch. Yeah.
Was there a big Lebanese community in Huntington?
Yes.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. Just my dad's family alone, there were six kids, and so there were a lot of them, and there were many Lebanese families here. Yeah.
So Nickel and Dime Store, it was like a general store to start?
The where?
This was a Nickel and Dime?
Well, it was milkshakes, hamburgers, Cokes, just, you know, little bitty stuff on a little bitty menu.
Okay.
And then they didn't do food a lot. They increased their sandwiches. And then they eventually, once they started the spaghetti, started adding more food to it. And then it got to be a big menu. And then it got to be a smaller menu. But they had fried chicken and filet, bacon wrapped, and they did homemade fries and onion rings and baked steak and all kinds of stuff. And then when labor went up, they had to cut somewhere, so they cut the menu. And it virtually is the same menu today that they've had for, I don't know, 45 years. Yeah.
And was there ever any kind of Lebanese food served?
No, because it would have had to have been made by my mother. She never had time to do that.
Right.
Now, she always wanted to. And, you know, there could have been a time when maybe she would make a dish one day or something. But to my knowledge, the answer to that question is no.
So many restaurants don't, they update their, you know, their booths or their, you know, the menu or the style. And to me, I just learned that the historic Courier Diner in Charleston, they ripped out the wooden booths, and I was just like more upset than I should have been. But why do you think you've stuck with the original details?
You know, I've been thinking about that in terms of the fact that the James Beard people are coming next week, the 21st, okay, to do a video to be shown, and so things run through your head about different aspects of this restaurant and my life and the people here. And one of the reasons is because if you take it that I came back here 25 years ago to help my dad, so he would have been 103, I think, this year. So whenever I came 25 years ago, he was, what, 78 or something like that. And we've never been planners for this restaurant. It's just take it day by day, and now here it is for me 25 years later, and I'm still here. If I had known I was going to be here for 25 years, there could possibly have been some changes made. But every year, I'd sort of put it in the back of my head and say, no, I'm not about to do anything, because everybody loves it just like it is. Why would we change? So the menu has been the same. Everything's the same. It was sort of like, to bluntly put it, why get into doing something if we're going to close down next year? So never knowing the longevity of this restaurant and thinking, my God, and now here we are 80 years later. Mm-hmm. So are we ever going to change? No. Have we changed anything? Yes. We had a major change this year. This time last year, I started looking online and in different catalogs and everywhere we could find for our dress uniform. I don't know, do you know the dress? Okay, the nurse dress, okay. We had worn it, I have a picture of my mother in a dress in the early 40s. And so we've always worn a dress. And so we had to have certain things. They had to be short sleeve, they had to have pockets, they had to have some fullness in the skirt. So the only thing that left was the nurse's white dresses, which were very straight, long sleeves, and nobody would make it. I begged them to make me $5,000 worth of uniforms, you know, and nobody would do it. So then we had to decide what we were going to do, and we wanted something simple, clean, neat. At that point, we had just hired two waiters for the first time, and so we liked what they looked like, so we went out and found black pants and a white shirt. But that's been a shock. I still, you know, look over at her and I think, where's your damn dress? You know? So anyway, that's the story of the change. And there's just, you know, it's just unique. It's just unique. And there's nothing here that's replaceable. They wanted to do the movie We Are Marshall in here. And I offered it to him for 2 weeks, and then something happened, and the waitress in the movie couldn't stay. She had to go to Atlanta to do a double deal, and so they built a thing down there, and we sent some props to him. And when it was all over and done with, I thought, oh, thank heavens. If they had come in here with those cranes, and they had broke one ball, I would have cried. It would have cost them a fortune, because they would have had to have one made.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just, we're glad just the way we are.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking the booths look incredible. They're in such good shape.
We have these reupholstered.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
But
it's still the same frame.
Uh-huh. And the same color?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the color looks very vintage.
Yeah. Oh, it is very vintage. Because in 1966, when I bought a house for the first time, all the carpet was this color.
Yeah, I think we had a stove that color when I was.
Yes, certainly. But if you go to California, they're going all retro now. Uh-huh, that's
right.
What I've heard.
Right. Well, I think that's a part of West Virginia that is unique, the way things hold on to the style.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what makes it exciting, I think, for young people visiting or coming back. And so when I hear something like they tour out the booths of the diner, just like you need to know what you have and keep, you know,
yes,
hold on to the things,
yeah,
that you do well.
Yeah. Look at the stools, how worn they are. But to our knowledge, they've been here forever.
Yeah, those look great.
Yeah.
What about the stainless?
Do you know somebody made that, and we don't know who? That's really sad. There's so much history in this restaurant that nobody knows. I've got a gal upstairs that comes back every year for strawberry pie. She's up there been making pie shells for us. And she doesn't know. She knows some history, but we don't have anybody left that knows a lot of the history. And it never got written down.
That's in beautiful shape, too.
Yeah.
And it's so clean.
Oh, yeah. We're neat freaks. Yeah, you wouldn't believe. I'll show you around because it's really interesting to see some of the stuff.
Is being a neat freak a family trait?
Yeah. The five of us. I can't speak for all of our families, you know, but my brothers and I are pretty picky. Yeah.
Did you ever think you would come back?
No. No way. You know, life has its funny turns, and you never know. Who would have thought at the age of 48 I would have been a widow with four kids, you know? So you do what you have to do. It's just the way it is.
Was that a hard transition to come back here?
I was just telling somebody today, I've just learned over my lifetime and probably the death of my husband. This is off the record. He was an alcoholic, so he died very suddenly. But yet at the same time, at the age of 48 with four kids, I learned then to accept life.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up here, I did what I had to do, and that was it. And I never questioned.
And then with your parents, was there kind of a handing over, any kind of official handing over to you?
No. No, like I said, just I came up here and I guess it was 5 or 7 years after I'd been here, my dad started deteriorating and his manager died a year before he did. So it was just sort of, I just assumed the responsibility. And I'm a workaholic and I'm still working 60 hours a week, you know, so I just do what I have to do. That's just what you do, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, so that's what you do.
So there's so many photos of famous people. Can you name some of them, and have you met any folks passing through?
Oh, I have to show you this.
Okay.
This is my dad. Right there.
Oh, wow.
In the jacket.
Uh-huh.
Yes, with hair.
Huntington High School.
Uh-huh.
Class of 32.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got a good head of hair.
He does. Okay, this was his class. He has a group, my brother has a group of guys that come every Tuesday and Thursday to eat here. And so we did a picture of some of them that day. Billy Joel was married to Katie Lee, who is from Huntington.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so that's my brother and them. They're since divorced and she's remarried.
Okay.
But that was sort of an interesting little segue into whoever's life. This guy, Tina knows his name. I can't think of his name. The guy with the beard is the director of the Young Life here in Huntington, okay. And that's his family. But this guy used to sing with Kenny Chesney, and he's now Rice. Are you into music? Rice.
Rice.
Uh huh. Tina will be back by here. I'll ask her. There's all kinds of pictures.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
Hoffman, Muhammad Ali, Marcel Marceau.
Justin Hoffman was here because the national president of the Autism Society was from here when the movie Rain Man was, okay? Uh-huh. So they did a premiere here. Mm-hmm. And so he came here, and my dad used to get pictures of everybody. And so that's why his picture's on the wall. My brother Ron, who lives in Charlottesville, was Mohammed's attorney for 35 years and is still Lonnie's attorney today. Lonnie and my brother were the one that planned the whole funeral.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then his son is a documentary person, and he did the whole funeral. He filmed the entire funeral for her. It will never be shown. It was for Lonnie, period. And let's see, Dagmar's over there. You don't even know Dagmar. She was in TV back in the 50s. She looks like a Jane Mansfield. And so her brother is right there. And they're from Huntington.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have her picture up. And let's see, I don't know who's over there.
Marcel Marceau, isn't he a French mime?
Yeah, he just came in, and my dad loved him. Oh, I was here then, and they sat on the counter and, you know, talked to each other. Oh, it's so cute.
Cool.
Yeah, it was so cute. And there's a lot of, this is the singing section back here, and then the Marshall section up front, and my dad and mom were big Marshall people, and so is my brother. So, I don't know. These are, what happened was this, a lot of these pictures, there's stacks of them upstairs. The Keith Albee across the alley here is the theater. And that's where people would come and sing and entertain, do performances. And so then after the performance was over at midnight or whenever, they would come over here, and because it was the only place that was open. And so they would all sign a picture for my mom and dad. And so that's how a lot of those, Perry Como and I can't call them off. Tina?
Yes, ma'am.
What's this kid's name?
Chase Rice.
I haven't heard of him.
Okay. Play a card up there.
I know. We need to. Yes.
So you said initially it was open until midnight, and
they opened at 7 in the morning and they stayed open until midnight. Now I don't know what year that was. That was probably a little ways into it, and then that was till on. They were open 7 days a week then, and then they'd stay.